Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Today we're in Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23. Mark 7, 14 through 23. The Confrontation Over Defilement, Part 2. Last week we took verses 1 through 13, the confrontation of the over defilement, Part 1. As we began a new subject, chapter 6 of Mark was all about discipleship. Chapter 7 of Mark is the opposition to the Lord and the spiritual things of the Lord. But for today, just to begin, let's begin reading at verse 1 as we review from last week. And the Pharisees and some of the scribes are gathering together to him, that would be the religious leaders, having come from Jerusalem. So they came up from Jerusalem to confront him. Verse 2, and having seen some of his disciples eating bread with defiled hands, that is, unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they should wash the hands with the fist, scrubbing with the fist, holding the tradition of the elders. So these are religious leaders. As we mentioned last week, the greatest enemy to the Christian faith is religion, man-made religion. When man is setting up the religion, when man is making the rules and regulations over and against the Word of God. They went on, goes on to explain in verse 4, even coming from the market, if they should not wash themselves, they do not eat. The word wash is the word baptizo for baptism. It was a special religious ceremony of scrubbing the hands with the fist. And going through a baptismal type ceremony for the hands. And we'll see in a moment, not just the hands, but the eating utensils, the pots and pans. If they do not wash when they come in from the market, they do not eat. And there are many other things which they received to hold. The washing of cups and pitchers and copper utensils and even beds or couches. They would perform a washing ceremony to make these things ceremonially clean. And so they see Jesus and his disciples eating bread with unwashed hands. Not unwashed in the sense that we get our kids to wash their hands before they eat. But they were not ceremonially clean before they ate the bread. So they confronted Jesus. And then the explanation for the tradition. Verse 5, then the Pharisees and scribes question him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but with unwashed hands they eat bread? The correction, verses 6 to 13. And he, having answered, said to them, then well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you, hypocrites, as it has been written. So now he quotes from Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. And he calls them hypocrites. And as I said last week, that's not a sarcastic term. That literally means actor. You actors, you're acting out what the scriptures say, but it's not coming from the heart, as Isaiah is going to tell us. This people honors me with the lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Not commandments that God gives, but commandments that man makes and men make up. Verse 8, for having left the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such like things you do. And he was saying to them, well, do you set aside the commandment of God? Pretty clever, very sophisticated system to set aside the commandment of God for the traditions. You do this in order that you might observe your tradition. Then he gives an example. For Moses said, quote from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother. That's what the scripture says. And then again, from Exodus 21, verse 17, the one speaking evil of father or mother, let him end by death. But you yourselves say, if a man should say to his father or mother, korban, which is translated gift, whatever you might be profited from me, and you no longer allow him to do anything for his father or mother. So he gave them an excuse. It says, honor your father and mother. And the one who speaks evil of mother and father, let him die the death. But you say that all he needs to do is bring his money or whatever gift or help that he might have for his mother and father and take it to the church and claim it to be a korban, a gift that is dedicated to God. But then what the priest would do is say, okay, now this gift belongs to God, and they would give it back to the person that presented it. It would cost them a fee for this pronouncement, but they would then take the gift, and they would use it for themselves rather than for their mother and for their father. And he says, with that, you curtail all the commandments that have to do. And you no longer allow him to do anything for his father or his mother. So he said, give it to us. It's a korban. It's a gift to God. Verse 13, making void the word of God by your tradition, which you handed down. It's tradition that's handed down from person to person. And many such things you do. Now for today, verses 14 through 23. In verse 14, the communication of a parable. And having called to all the crowd, he was saying to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing from outside of the man entering into him which is able to defile him. but the things going out from him, those are the things defiling the man. Now that's a parable. And that's all he says. He finishes by saying, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. But that's all he says to them. In verses 17 to 23, the comprehension of the parable. And when he entered into a house from the crowd, his disciples were asking him concerning the parable. So he says, let ears to hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. He activates their hearing to come and hear, find out more about what this parable means. And they ask him about the parable. What exactly does it mean? Verse 18. And he says to them, in this way are you yourselves also without understanding. The way of the religious. They don't understand. Do you not perceive that everything entering in from the outside into the man is not able to defile him? These are religious people that he's talking to. They believe that if you can eat certain foods, you can be defiled. If you eat a certain way, you're unclean and you're defiled, religiously defiled. So he says, are you the same without understanding? Yes, they were. They're religious. At this point, they had religious background, not spiritual background. Verse 19 gives the reason that it does not defile the man, because it does not enter into his heart, but into his stomach, and goes into the latrine or toilet, aphedrona, purifying all the foods. So it doesn't affect the heart. Not the heart that pumps blood, but the heart being the center of man. The heart of man. Where you think, where you feel, where you reason. Because it does not enter into his heart. That's why it doesn't defile him. But rather the stomach. And it passes through the human system into the mouth and goes out. And that's the cleansing process of the human body. He's not concerned about food that enters the mouth, but he's concerned about what comes out of the mouth, because that is what comes from out of the heart. He's concerned about the heart of man, being pure and being cleansed. Verses 20 through 23. And he was saying that the thing going out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, are going out wicked reasonings, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, evil. And that's, by the way, that's in the plural in the Greek. It has a specific meaning that we'll get to in a moment. Deceit, licentiousness or lewdness, as some texts have it, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness or senselessness, all these evil things from within go out, and that is what defiles the man. So in verse 21, it says, for from within, out of the heart of men, are going out certain things. It isn't religious practice. It isn't from outside that defiles a person. Every human being has an evil heart. What God is concerned about is our heart. He says, what comes out of the man, that is what defiles him. For within, out of the heart of the men proceed what are called wicked thoughts, wicked reasonings in verse 21. The word reasoning is the word dialogues or thoughts, constantly dialoguing with the thoughts of the mind, that which is wicked or evil. The word wicked is a general term for that which is not right, that which is wrong in the sight of God, or adversity. The second thing it says, adulteries, comes from the heart. Not the physical act itself only, but adulteries comes from the heart. Fornications, which is sexual immorality, comes from the heart. It's the heart that's corrupt. Murders, in verse 21. Murders isn't just the physical act of killing someone. It comes from the heart. That's where its starting point is. Verse 22. Thefts. Stealing comes from the heart as a condition of the heart. Covetousness, which literally means to want more, to desire more than what we have. If I am not satisfied with what I have, then I am striving for more. This is covetousness, and it comes from the heart. It's a heart condition of wanting more. The word evils in the translation is plural. The word evil in the plural form is the plural form of poneros. It denotes the plots and plans of evil. So all kinds of evils, all kinds of plots and plans that are evil. Deceit also comes from the heart. Licentiousness, interesting Greek word, also translated lewdness. Greek word oselgeia comes from two words. One, salgeia, from the city of Salge. And the word, the letter A, which is in Greek called the alpha privative. And when you put the A in front of a word, it means without or not. Aselgeia means without Selge. What Selge meant, as a city, people would use it as a byword to denote a certain condition. Selge was known for closing down at night, closing its bars and all of its physical activities, would close the bars and events down at night. And so the military, if they were stationed in the area, didn't like to be stationed around Selge, because Selge closed down at night. And so Aselge means without closing down, without restrictions, without limitations, with no standard for righteousness. There is no standard of morality. So licentiousness is from the heart. And this means evil without a standard, without a moral code of conduct. Aselge, aselgeia, without selge. Next, an evil eye. Always looking for evil. Blasphemy. Speaking against the Lord is from the heart. Speaking against Him is from the heart. Pride. Pride is a condition of the heart. Foolishness. The normal word for foolishness is moron in Greek. Moronos. That is what the literal word is. This word is the word being without a trained mind that is focused on the Lord. The train of thought is completely under the world's order and system. This all comes from the heart. Senselessness. Things that make no sense. Foolishness. Verse 23. He says, all of these evil things come from within, and that is what defiles a person. In Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31, somebody came up to Jesus and says, what is the first of all the commandments? Jesus said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Then he said, well, this is the first commandment. Love the Lord your God in all your heart, in all your soul, in all your mind, and in all your strength. And the second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. So what God is interested in is our heart, not a tradition. God is not impressed with tradition. And many times we're just stuck in tradition. We just go through the traditional way of doing things, and that is what regulates our life. God wants our hearts. The first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart. Remember back in Mark chapter 6, verse 52, after the feeding of the 5,000, and the disciples were back out on the water, it says that they did not understand about the loaves because their heart was hardened. So their heart was hardened to not understand the lesson about the feeding of the 5,000 people. So that when they got out on the sea in the boat, it didn't carry over. It didn't mean anything to them. He's concerned about people's hearts, whether they can come up with the ability to get rid of a storm or paddle their way through a storm. He was concerned about the disciples' hearts. They did not understand about Jesus multiplying the bread out and stilling a storm. That's why they reacted the way they did in that situation, because they didn't learn the lesson from the feeding of the 5,000. It has nothing to do with food. It had to do with Jesus manifesting himself to their heart so that they might trust him as bringing the bread of life. They were scared and lacked courage. And the text tells us in chapter 6, verse 52, it is because they didn't understand about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. Lord is interested in our hearts more than anything else. This outer man, this physical body can fall apart if that is the Lord's will, because he's interested in my heart. I ask the Lord for things. I pray and I say, Lord, help me, or Lord, guide me, or Lord, provide for me. The only thing he's interested in is my heart. Maybe I need $100, but the Lord knows that if he provides $100 for me, my heart is going to be turned away from him. So he won't provide the $100. He wants to provide me to sustain my life, but at the same time, his main concern is my heart. My response to him, that's what he's concerned about. The conditions of my heart. He does not want my wallet or my car or my house. He wants my heart. This is where his spirit dwells. This is where I respond to him at. That's where I have fellowship with him at. That is where I serve him at. Romans 12, verse 1, we are told to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him who is our reasonable service. And literally that term reasonable service means whom we serve with our reasoning processes. My closest relationship with Jesus Christ is in my reasoning thoughts. When I make decisions to be obedient to him, when he ministers to me by his Spirit through his word, it all happens in the reasoning process. I'm being fed by his Spirit through the word in my heart where Christ dwells. This is what the Lord is concerned about. We have a tendency to fall back into religious practice and tradition as part of our walk with the Lord, as a way to get by. But the Lord's interested in our heart, a heart response, and a heart relationship with him. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for exposing our religious practices. Thank you for exposing the dangers that await us. The fact that you are interested in our hearts. We pray that your Spirit would renew our hearts and renew our minds so that we understand that it is a relationship, not a religious tradition. And we pray for your Spirit to minister these things to us in Jesus' name. Amen.